this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? As you would say, not the best Manchester United news this week. 4-0 drubbing at the Merseyside.
Terrible performance from the boys. Key match. Everyone knows the race for top four. This was a must win. The boys didn't play well against Barcelona. You can't slay them for that. They played okay at West Ham. They got through it. But we were due for a big match. And they continue to slide downhill. This is probably the worst, capping off the worst run of form we have seen since Jose Mourinho. Ole has climbed the mountain, and we are getting to the bottom of that mountain right here with this performance from the boys. Sir, how are you feeling?
Sir, it's tough stuff. I mean, this was just like, you know, we make excuses for previous performances, for previous results. We never even showed up to the party. They just hit us in the first half. They hit us in the second half. We didn't respond with subs in the second half, so not really a lot I can defend on the pitch.
Yeah, we got up at 5:30.
Yeah, we got up real early.
West Coast.
Just saw an absolute marvel performance. Had to go for a run afterwards. And now we're breaking it down, and we don't have a lot of positivity to bring because I got no way to spin this, sir. I got nothing.
We're entering the no-spin zone. I mean, as a fan, we'll get to it later, but we got 7% chance making the top four.
Generous.
You know, always at the wheel. How good did it feel? We got up there. We got close. And then when it mattered, the boys folded. Tough times at Manchester United these days. But before we get into that, sir, we have our year-end podcast survey, and we would love to get your feedback. I know it's tough times at Manchester United, but we're giving away a 2019-2020 Manchester United jersey of your choice. First, away, third team jersey, whatever player you want, your size.
Rep the Chevy.
If you complete the survey, I think we already got like 70 responses.
Getting there.
We're trying to get to 100. We're going to be running this to the end of the season, and then we'll pick a winner, and we'll give you some threads, some new United threads, because we're going to win the league next year, sir. There's always next season.
Right? We're going to win the league in about 5 years, maybe, if we're lucky. But get that reviews in for the end of the year. You know, give us your take on what we're doing right, what we need to improve on. We've already gotten some great feedback, but let's get those numbers up. But, sir, we got to get into breakdown. I guess we have to break it down. Do we have to break it down?
Let's jump into the starting 11. 4-3-3, we called the formation last week. Probably not Lindelof at right back, but, you know, Ole is reading Twitter, realizes everyone's slaying Ashley Young, so he's got to rest him. We had Dave Says at the back, Lindelof at right back. I was surprised. Smalling Jones at center back and Delo on the left. I think Delo definitely needed a start. We had the Fred Matic Pogba midfield. Matic coming back from injury. The Serbian has been off this season, and it showed in this match as well. And the front three, your boy, Big Rom, Lukaku, number 9, in the middle of the park, Martial on the left, and Rashford on the right. Seeing this lineup, sir, what'd you think?
It's all our firepower. You know, you got Modric back in. Back four is a mess, but you've lost Shaw, so you got to make do. I was excited about the midfield three, getting Matic back in, because he's, you know, he's been hit and miss, and it's good to have him hopefully for the end of the season, but he didn't show much today. And that front three, bro, that's like all your attacking options, so would have liked to see them do a little bit more, but I was excited when I saw it at 5:15, like scraggling, turning the coffee machine on, and I thought, hey, these, Everton, bro, Everton.
Yeah, I had a bad feeling. Just a general bad feeling in my gut.
Lindelof right back. Did that do it for you?
Yes. I mean, even before seeing the lineup, we talked about it yesterday, and you were getting a little fired up because I was a little negative, and I was just saying, look, man, we're fans. We're a little biased here on the American Red Devils podcast, more than a little. And, you know, we can always come for excuses. Oh, it's Barcelona. Oh, the boys, you know, they just didn't show up. On to the next one type of narrative here. But it's going to catch up to you. When you're playing this way, and whatever issues are going on at Manchester United these days are clearly shown in the performances. So there's no reason, if you look at the valuation, the wages of those players, the international roster spots they all occupy, they should be doing a job at Everton away. And we saw the opposite. Jumping in the first half, we're not going to give you guys audio clips of all four Everton goals. We're going to try to make this as quick and painless as possible. United come out, don't look good. Everton have us. I mean, the Merseyside's rocking. 13th minute, we said it. Richarlison, bicycle kick, gets a goal off of a throw-in.
Legal throw-in over the line, but hey.
No, it was legal because his foot stepped over and was still on the line. I think NBC broke that down. They did say it was still legal. Questions around the throw-in techniques. Either way, Dalot was the one to blame here. He could have gone in hard, and you know he feared that boot of Richarlison, and he gets the goal.
And that sums up the game, and I think Ole hits it when we get to his break, his press conference a little bit later. We were always second to the party. You know, we weren't going head in, studs up, just like going to win the game, and they had a lot more gumption, playing with a lot more
mentality.
Heart than we were, bro. They like, dude, they went at us from the beginning, and they outplayed us the entire game. Maybe we played, we last 10 minutes, but like we played.
Yeah, no, I think
slow,
it was last 5
soft.
Minutes.
Yeah, maybe last 5. We finally created a chance, finally had a shot on target, which is exciting. But this was from the beginning, and it was all first half, sir.
Yeah, 28th minute. Sigurdsson in the hole. We talked about him on the tactical breakdown last podcast. And boy, Matic snoozing, and he hit a banger. So Sigurdsson slots it home. We go in halftime, down 2 goals. You know, it ain't over. But
I had
we
no
need
confidence,
three.
Though. I had no confidence. The way we were playing, we didn't create a single chance. Usually we create
no
chances.
No shot on target.
Usually we create chances and don't take them, or just like, you know, make the goalies look world class. But this was, we didn't do anything. In the first half, we didn't do anything. So I went in thinking like, We'd be lucky to get a draw out of this.
And Ole
game.
Doesn't turn it around. I mean, we saw Mourinho turn it around at half before. The boys come out maybe having a reaction. Certain managers are able to do that. Ole, at halftime, we come out the same always. That is one thing about him as the manager that I can criticize, because he made some changes, sir. Brought on McTominay, brought on Ashley Young because of the Phil Jones injury. Lindelof goes to center back. Ashley Young goes on the right. And Fred, your boy Fred, yanked. Him and Pogba had words in the first half as well. Nothing coming off for United. And clearly, when you're getting hit for two Everton away, you got to make some changes. I did like that urgency from Ole, but it didn't make a difference. Second half, 56th goal. Digne from a corner. Amazing volley. I mean, this is just, it's not your day. Even it's not your day.
Not going for you.
And then we're just going to lay even more of an egg. 64th minute. Walcott, the ex-Gunner, gets a goal and 4-0. And, you know, the Twitterverse just kind of is all lit a fire. But, sir, there was always hope because in the 86th minute, actually before then, we brought on Pereira. He actually made an impact. The team started playing well. Whatever dynamic occurred after we're down 4, seemed like the last 5 minutes of the game, things were clicking for the squad. And we got our 86th first shot in the 86th minute, which is
Martial
abysmal.
Got a shot.
That's all she wrote. We can go down the list. We can slate every single player. Lukaku, terrible. Martial, terrible. Rashford, where are you? Fred,
Pogba,
he got yanked at halftime.
Pogba, Yagin,
Modric snoozing.
I mean, Jones played well until he hurt himself.
Yeah, Jones, De Gea let 4 in. Dalot, I mean, I'm going to say that Richarlison, I mean, everyone is should be chastised here. McTominay did come on, play hard. I saw him walking off the pitch. He was real fired up, really upset. Ole went to clap up the fans after the game, and there was tears in his eyes. He was like, I swore I saw him well enough, because it was such a terrible performance from the boys in such a big spot. At the end of the season, when Manchester United, this is how the culture of Manchester United always pull it through, always get that win. We're not Arsenal. We don't bottle it. But this is as close as you get to Arsenal right now. They lost today, but we lose, and it changes everything for the top four. Match reaction, possession, Everton 48% of the ball, Manchester United 52 shots on target. This says it all. Everton 8, United 1, and that came in 86th minute. Disgraceful performance from the boys. And corners, we never feature corners here on the American Red Devils podcast as far as stats, but this one was Everton 10, United 2. We had nothing.
Nothing doing.
Zilch. Big Luke, what do you got to say about your boy?
I mean, he did not play well, but Martial, I didn't see Martial until the second half. I mean, I didn't remember seeing him in the game in the first half at all. Pogba was absent, didn't do much. I'm telling you, as soon as we get some goals scored on us through our largely justified strong defense, the team just wilts like spinach in a pan, bro. Just like, and he did it again. And Matic, he's one of the most senior players on the team. He's got to step up. Pogba wants to be the captain. He's got to step up. No one was kind of leading the line. setting an example that this team needs to respond and play with some urgency and play with some directness. And we just, dude, we like rolled over, bro. We rolled over by the 30th minute the game was over.
Roll over Beethoven, sir. This is some tough stuff to read through here. Ooh. This was Everton's biggest margin of victory over Manchester United in any competition since beating them 5-0 in October 1984. Ouch. It was United's biggest defeat to any opposition since a 4-0 loss to Chelsea in October 2016.
Ouch.
Eh, I mean, that's pretty bad, but you know, it's only a few years.
Chelsea, this is Everton. Yeah,
we lose 4-0 every 2 years. This new United team, at least. This new United defense, at least. This was United's fifth consecutive away defeat in all competitions. Their longest such run of losses since March 1981. I can't do it anymore, sir.
I'll tap you out, bro. United conceded 48 Premier League goals in 2018-2019, their highest tally in a single season in the competition, and their most in a league campaign since, 78-79 with 63 goals.
What did Ed Woodward
largely
say?
Largely justified.
What did Ed Woodward say when we didn't buy?
Largely justified.
Yeah, he said it was largely justified, didn't see value in the market for defenders. Ed Woodward, this is the most goals we've conceded in the Premier League since 1978-79.
We're not done.
If there's any silver lining, Everton have won more points at home to the big six clubs this season than any other team outside the top six. So again, they are spoilers and have been proven tough.
And recently, too.
Liverpool did draw Everton.
Yep.
And United have gone 11 consecutive matches without a clean sheet in all competitions for the first time since 1998. Again, tough stuff. Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Not good enough for a Man United team, both from... all the way from me to players, and we know that we let the fans down, let the club down today, because that performance is difficult to describe because it's so bad. They beat us on all the basics, you know, long throw in, stick your head in, our own corner kick, they counter attack. Their corner, they're first to the ball. Good strike, by the way. The fourth one as well. There's many chances to get rid of that ball. Stick your head in again. So we were beaten on all the things, all the ingredients that you need added to your talent today. And as I said last week as well, there's no place that you can hide on the pitch. So. That's just 85 minutes before we got a strike on target, which is not good enough. We know that.
I mean, wise words from the manager. He knows that the team let him down. And
worrisome, sir. It's worrisome to see that because I think he's worried about the way his team are playing and responding. And we should be. That performance was like abjectly poor. Just all around, just a terrible performance. He saw it. He felt bad because the fans were ripping, dude. They're always ripping. We have the best away fans in the league.
Yeah, I mean, we got to shout that out. The fans singing the boys off the pitch.
4-0. Getting smoked by Everton.
Not one player who wore the jersey short of McTominay or Jones, who went off injured with a cracking challenge, deserves that treatment from the away fans. I mean, we have the best fans in the world. We give this club so much money. We give them our souls, even, here at the American Red Devils podcast. They got to repay us. It's been such a long time. It's really a shit product out there. I'm going to say lowest of the low of the season, even lower than when Mourinho was sacked. Because, I mean, this has got to be the low, right?
Well,
such a big game,
so high,
such
right?
a bad performance.
It all feels like a false dawn, right? Because you had this great turn in form after you appoint Ole. And then all of a sudden after Paris and after he gets appointed permanent manager, everything just starts falling apart. And it's not always, because some of those games were bad luck. We actually played pretty well. But this game, we played so shitty and just got smoked by a team that's not that good.
We haven't played well for a month. I mean, the Barcelona at home, we defended well. I mean, we were like at least had
much,
some
yeah,
cohesion. I mean,
we played well.
That was probably the last time we played. But in the league, it's been a tough ride in the league.
Since Arsenal.
It's been a tough ride. And at home, it's been tough. So, sir, that being said, give us Alex's Daily Mail headlines tomorrow, today.
Sir, and we said it, you could hear it in our voices, but it was a nightmare at the Merseyside. And we didn't get into too many of the details, but there's nothing positive to draw from this game. There's no kind of great
that's the
glimming,
worst case
shiner.
Scenario.
There's no upside. The fact that actually, you know, Arsenal dropped points, that's huge for us. Hopefully Chelsea do it tomorrow, which is still giving us a chance. But at the end of the day, like,
we're in the worst form imaginable.
We shouldn't even be in it. Ole did make it possible, but at the end of the day, like, the team has not been responding well, and that performance is not how you want to go into the end of the season.
Sir, next headline.
Sir, and if you read Twitter, you'd see the same sentiment, but sack the lot. And you know what? I don't know how much say Ole's going to get over this team, but beyond the troublemakers, that, you know, the players that are always kind of put as, like, obviously first to be shipped, the Rojos, the Darmians, the Youngs, etc., you might have to ship some big-name players, some Pogbas, Lukakus, some Martials, because it doesn't look like everyone wants to play for this badge, and things are a little worrying. You should be able to get up for an Everton game. That is this important in the league.
Sir, are we burning that Lukaku number 9 if that you bought last season?
If he leaves, we are.
I'm going to get that on the letter fuel ready. I haven't had a good jersey since
We're going to drop a live stream,
burn them all, sir. All the cursed jerseys we got here.
We're going to finish sixth. Yeah, we'll do it.
Tough times here at the American Red Devils podcast. And also a shout out to you, the listeners. If you're listening to this podcast, you are a hardcore fan of Manchester United. You don't get beat 4-0 by Everton and search out content or breaking it down. But
I might not listen to this. I don't want to, like, relive this game. It was brutal. I mean, so if you're seeking it out, you're a true American Red Devil fan. You're a true Manchester United fan.
No matter what. I'll follow this team to the championship if I have to, because that is just the type of fan that anyone should aspire to be, especially when it comes to the history of this club. That's why we get up every day, watch these matches. I mean, it can't get any better than Manchester United. And even though we're losing, I love this club, right? So we can be frustrated, the status that we have, but I love this club. And you can talk to Liverpool fans, haven't won it for 30 years. They're on the verge. Don't like them. But as far as they love their club. Yeah. They love their club. And so if it's 30 years, I'll still be rooting for Manchester United.
For sure.
And I will celebrate like crazy.
If looking back through the annals of history at the American Red Devils catalog, I'm not going to be like, yeah, that 4-0 Everton game. I'm going to seek that out. I want to relive that.
It's also Walcott
just like putting the pooper on us at 4-0.
It's a tough pill to swallow because it's pretty much the... It isn't the complete nail in the coffin, but it's like the biggest nail before the final nail.
You had such a chance.
This was a must-win match. We win this game. We're in the thick of the fight.
It changes the entire dynamic,
especially with Arsenal losing. The pressure would be on them, and it's like not only do we wilt to Arsenal away, we wilt to Everton away, and Ole loses the magic at the wrong time. Sir, jumping into match day musings. This is some key Manchester United figures dropping knowledge after the match on Twitter or sort of in the post game. We're going to go to Gary Neville here. Quote, "That performance was rancid. I don't need to name names. Everyone knows who they are. They're in the newspapers, on social media every day. Every single player who doesn't have the attitude, forget talent. If they don't work hard, get rid of them." Unquote. I have to think he's referring to Paul Pogba or Lukaku. What do you think?
I think he's talking about Pogba. I mean, Pogba is the one who's in the news more so than anyone. Real Madrid news has been basically constant. I think he's right.
Since that comment, though. Since the Real Madrid comment, he literally hasn't played well.
He hasn't showed up for a game since. I mean, you could say that, like, he gave it a go at Barcelona the same way this team did, but we kind of, you know, those goals in the away leg, we kind of, like, broke down the same way we did in this game, right? We gave away early goals that we shouldn't give away, and the team kind of just, like, breaks. And we have to be willing to be a little bit more resilient and fight back because, hey, man, I'll give credit to our ex, but we would fight back, bro. We would come out shit, but we did, like, get fired up and come back instead of just, like, we seem to, like, just bow our head and expect
things
are coming
easy. Sir, are
you
talking about the ex-girlfriend here?
We're allowed to, aren't we?
Sir, I don't know. I think it's been too long.
Nil.
I don't know. After a 4-0,
After a 4-0, you know?
I mean,
starting to remember things.
It's been a while. Next, on Twitter, Samuel Luckhurst. He writes for the Manchester Evening News, so you got to rate his opinion. Quote, "Paul Pogba leads the way off the pitch. First player down the tunnel after the match was Paul P. You got it. And Dalot and McTominay did stay out the longest. They clapped up the fans. I remember I saw a television shot of McTominay complaining passionately to Dalot. He looks so upset. That kid loves his club. Those are the players we need at this team, and they should be starting week in, week out." Next bit of musings from Sam Pilger. He writes for the Sunday Times, quote, "Manchester United are suffering from their failure to buy a much-needed central defender last summer and so have now conceded 48 goals this season, the most ever in Premier League history. And you can all look to last summer, and I hate to talk about the operation side of this club, but it is the issue here. Mourinho, the ex-girlfriend, we're talking about him, wanted a defender, needed backing by the board, and they said, no way, Jose. And those 48 goals have to lead to where we are in the league, right? If we got Kubali or Slabhead, I would have to think
we'd be
that
better.
Could be
With
5 points.
We'd be better.
That could be 5 points. That could be the difference for us making top four. They said no, and look at where we are.
It could
be
the difference for Mourinho, too, actually. I mean, you never know what would have happened if we had like a solid defender that would have just slotted in with Lindelof or a Smalling. Especially in a Slabhead, bro, that I think like... You know, I've gone both ways, but he's
not
he's
a sexy
really,
signing,
he's
but it works.
Really proven, and you know, yeah, he's... You know he's effective. He plays for a team that like comes under a lot of pressure in Leicester. So we need something. We got nothing. The fact that we haven't bought a center back. I mean, since Victor Lindelof, but like we needed to buy another one. Probably needed to buy two.
Yeah, even after last season, the way Lindelof played, and he's kind of had a resurgence under Ole, but has faded a little bit. We should have got that center back. I think we need two this summer. Sir, we have the race for top four. We're going to break it down where we stand. Some people say it's over. It is not over. It is close to being over. So you're saying there's a chance.
Just about over.
Sir, break down the table where everything stands.
Sir, top of the table, unfortunately, are the Scouse Bastards with the game in hand and 88 points. City are next, 86. So if they beat us, they go to top with 89 points. Yikes, spikes. But I guess it's better than the Scouse Bastards. Third place is Spurs, 67 points. Arsenal, 66 points. Chelsea, 66. And us, 64. And all those teams fighting for the top four are at 34 games. So... Sir, if we had won that game, we would be in a good position. We would be in fourth ahead of Arsenal and Chelsea. Instead, we're at sixth again.
Yeah, and the fact we have to play both City and Chelsea within 4 days' time doesn't bode well for that. So we need this even more. And then things would have gone our way. I would say we were 15% chance going in. If we won and Arsenal lost, it's probably 35. Changes the probabilities, the dynamics. The odds on it currently, this is per 538.com. They run their own statistical model. United to make top four, 7%. So our chances were halved. Probably would have been 3 or 2% if Arsenal had won, yeah, and we had lost, right? Yeah. It would have been even worse. So we did get a bump because Arsenal lost. Arsenal's at 54, Chelsea at 49, Tottenham at 89. So if you want to break down the Chelsea and Arsenal schedules individually, the reason why I think Arsenal have a higher probability is based on the strength of schedule. Now, let's remember, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, and us have all played 34, so there's four matches each left for each club. And Tottenham and Chelsea and Arsenal all have midweek European matches. So Tottenham is in the Champions League, that big upset over City, so they're going to be swapping and moving around their sides. This is when it gets funky and you can drop points in the league. Chelsea and Arsenal, they even have the tighter turnaround with the UEFA European Cup.
Which is great, actually.
I mean, it actually bodes well for us. So, I mean, these probabilities don't take into account that, I don't believe. But, you know, what can go wrong will go wrong. And for Arsenal, it usually does. So I'm not saying it's completely...
We got to win. We got some games to win first.
It's probably a 1-10. And as a United fan, yeah, I'm going to say it's over. I'm pretty confident it's over. But Arsenal... Anytime they're in fighting with someone, and if we beat Chelsea, it could change things. So Chelsea's last four, Burnley home, Manchester United away, Watford home, and Leicester away. So if we beat Chelsea, they could lose to Leicester under Brendan Rodgers fighting for seventh. I rate their team playing away. Those are the two games Chelsea can lose. So it is possible, especially if we beat them, we can pip Chelsea. Arsenal, they have Wolves away, Leicester away. Same fixtures, a little tricky. Brighton at home, Burnley away. So again, for Arsenal, if they lose to Wolves, they just lost to Crystal Palace, they got to be rattled a little bit.
Those are some teams that like they can nick you, you know? Wolves, Leicester, Watford, Leicester for Chelsea and Arsenal. So we got to win, bro, because there's definitely potential that they could each lose a game, but it's on us. We got to win out.
Yeah, so if we beat Everton, the City game we have coming up wouldn't be a must win.
No, it is.
Now it's a must win. So United's last four. City's must win. Chelsea's must win. And then you have Huddersfield and Cardiff, sir.
It's a great way to end.
Yeah,
but they might not matter. They might not matter.
So under the circumstances where Arsenal lose two, Chelsea lose two, and we win out, we make top four. Now, that...
If they lose one and we win out, we make top four.
Yeah, that's correct. Right. But most likely, we need the wins we're going to win three, lose one, either.
Yeah, that, and then they both have to lose two.
Yes, yes. So that's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah,
those scenarios are pretty tight. But again, we're trying to break it all down because a lot of fans out there, they think it's completely over. It is not. But again, next week, it could be over. If we lose to City and Arsenal beat Wolves, it's probably over. So
it's probably over anyway. But hey, there's always a chance. Saying there's a chance.
It's been a hell of a year, sir. It's been a hell of a year.
All I gotta say, and downs.
I'm almost speechless. I'm without speech.
Ole highs and ole lows.
But we got a match to break down, sir, and never say die because we are Manchester United. We can't give up on this team and this club. We got to finish out the season strong. All you saw those away fans cheering the squad on after losing 4-0. So we got to embrace that attitude as a fan here at Manchester United. We are playing Manchester City at Old Trafford. The Derby, sir, Wednesday, April 24th. Noon Pacific, Manchester City go top of the league if they beat us, and we have some renewed hopes for the top four if we beat City. Maybe that is enough to give us confidence to finish strong. Ollie's at the wheel, you know, get the chanting rolling across Old Trafford, but can the boys bounce back from that terrible loss against Everton? A lot of questions for the lads, sir. What do you think? Can we do it? I mean, it's a big ask, right?
It's a big ask based on the form that we're in. Fact that they're playing well. I mean, they got bounced in the Champions League, so they're all focused on the league. They know how important this is. This is a must-win for them and their title hopes. So I'm worried because the performance in Everton was so bad. But we're a team that generally will play up and down to the opposition. But if we play, you know, anywhere close, anything that's not near our best of the best, we're still going to get smoked because City's playing such good football at the moment.
Yeah, I've watched a few City matches.
They create a lot.
It's tough. Tottenham, who are probably better than we are currently with under Pochettino's reign, City makes them look very poor. And I can only imagine how Chris Smalling and our back line is going to look. Jumping the tactics side of things, it's not news that Pep favors the 4-3-3, especially away from home, and he's going to be stingy with possession. They're going to come into our house. They're going to have probably 65 to 70% of the ball. Now that they're out of the Champions League, you know, they're all in on EPL, so they're going to come in guns blazing. They're going to try to punch us in the mouth at our house. And I think based on the players we have in our side, Ole would be overconfident to play a 4-3-3 right back at him. I think we need to go at three at the back. I think we need more defenders. We need to absorb City's pressure. There's the blueprint how to beat City. It's not pretty. You got to defend a lot. You got to hit them on the counter. But I don't think it's wise to come out and press him to Old Trafford. So how do you feel about the tactics there?
No, I think you got to play him like you play Barcelona. You got to play high press. You got to play wide, and I think you play through the back. But you can't press them.
I think you're gonna, like, similar to Barcelona.
We did press them.
We pressed them in the first game,
and we played well. I think we pressed them pretty well. It was the mistakes that screwed us against Barcelona in the second game. But I think that's how you stick with a team like this, because they like to pass the ball around. They like to hold possession in their back, play after their goalie. So I think you have to press them, bro. Run your asses off. If you're not running like we weren't running in Everton today, you're going to get smoked.
Impact players, sir. Don't even know where to start. There's too many on this side. I'm going to say Aguero. He netted recently against Tottenham, and he seems to be on like Donkey Kong. And I always fear Aguero when he gets the ball in the box, and I know they're going to have the ball there quite a bit. And Raheem Sterling, he's been in form as well. I mean, he's probably going to win, you know, player of the year, PFA player of the year. So we got to watch out for Sterling. Again, I'm just more nervous about our defense. And then defensively for City, Kyle Walker and Stones. Kyle Walker knows how to run down the channels. He's exactly the type of player we should have been buying from Tottenham. Missed that boat, sir. That's why we're playing Ashley Young. And Ederson, got to give a shout out to Ederson. He does play well. He does do a good job.
Minus the neck tattoo.
Minus the neck tattoos, but, you know, he's better than Claudio Bravo, right? So when...
No doubt.
You have
Claudio,
to, Ederson makes
joker.
It all work, right? When... Oh, when good. Pep he's had Bravo, they didn't do anything. And then they bring in Ederson.
And he can pass.
And he can pass, and it all worked for them. Physio room, jumping into Manchester United's injuries. Ander Herrera out with the hamstring. I think he's just gambling, hanging out, doing something.
He's in Monaco, bro.
He's in Monaco, chilling. He is probably not going to feature. He's gone. Like, see you later, Manchester United. I'm going to PSG. And that goes to show you, when the cheeky Spaniards tell you they love the club so much and they jump for money, you never know. Eric Bailly, he has a concussion. He should be in training next week, hopefully returning end of April. A little too late. And then Antonio Valencia, he gave the salute to Old Trafford. I do not think he's going to be returning. He is basically moving on to the MLS. Booking the bookies. The odds say it all. Manchester United to win, plus 453. That's right.
You're plus 450, bro.
Yeah, getting 4.5 times your money in Manchester United to win. If you're feeling brave, put down a tenner. Manchester City to win at our house. And nothing speaks volumes like this. Minus 239. That is disrespectful. I mean, it's amazing we lived in a world where this could have never even been dreamt of, sir. You know, now we see the noisy neighbors after Sir Alex has retired have just completely taken over. And it's terrible. We got to need a new owner, sir. I think we need to get the Glazers out.
If they're not going to spend money, we definitely do.
Lineup, sir. Give me your lineup, your formation. What do you think Ole's going to come out with?
Sir, I'm going with a 4-3-3. I think we're going to have Dave Saves net. Who else would you do? Ashley Young, right back. Smalling Lindelof is your center back pairing. Jones is injured. And then Shaw comes back after his suspension. Midfield three of McTominay, Fred, and Pogba. And then a front three of Lingard, Sanchez, Rashford. High press, bro. High press, high press, high press.
Good luck with that high press. I'm doing the 3-5-2. Defend, defend, defend. The Manchester United, the antithesis of the Manchester United way. Dave saves in net. Deleau on the right. Smalling Lindelof. Rojo bringing in those ugly tattoos to make some crunching talent challenges. Shaw, McTominay, Pereira, Pogba, Sanchez, and Rashford up front. So Lukaku's already gone, shipping him out, burning that chart. And Sanchez and Rashford. That Sanchez is dirty. Sanchez gonna save this team. Prediction, sir. What do you think the scores could be?
Sir, I think a 2-0 City.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me to predict. Never say die. 3-2 Manchester United.
Attaboy.
Dreams of the last time we
beat. I did 2-1 for Barca. We got smoked. So. I did 2-0 for Everton. We got smoked.
United in the news. Per the BBC, quote, Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says some players need a reality check. Ironically, Martial was the player who was pictured here. But again, I really do think Ole... I tweeted out during the match, can't win anything with mercenaries. And I look at this team and I see mercenaries. I see Anthony Martial. He's a mercenary. He only cared about his deal. He was all had a bad attitude. Lukaku, Pogba has a bad attitude, wants a new deal. De Gea, he's been off, wants a new deal. Rashford, he's holding out for more money. He hasn't even been playing well. It's like, you don't deserve the money. I mean, this is really the soul of this club is like, get these players out. If it's all about the money for them, Herrera, see you later. Like, hey, it was great, but peace.
Yeah, I mean, there has been a big drop in form, and there has been a lot of talk about contracts not being done. So it might be due to that. If that's the reality, that says a lot about these players, and you got to ship a lot of them.
Yeah,
it's going to be a multi-summer. This is going to be like a whole gutting, you know, like a whole house reno, bro. You know, like,
yeah, but
to the studs.
Look at Martial. He played well. We gave him a deal. He plays like shit. And to the extent we gave Ole the deal, the team hasn't been playing well either. I don't blame Ole for that, but I'm just saying, given the people the deals, usually doesn't result in performance uptick. Usually Martial is just like hanging out, buying new cars. He's not worried about it. Next article, sir, your beloved number 9, that jersey, can't wait to light it on fire. Lukaku could leave Manchester United with club open to offers. Per the Eurosport,
new
how
rule.
You feel?
This
how
new
you feel?
Rule. This is new, like
we're burning
the
it.
The cleanest death is a death by fire. I guess that's new, the new rule: a United player leaves for another club, what?
And you own the jersey.
And it's not like a very like. If it's not a way that we feel okay about it, right? If
no.
Rooney left, you're not going to have to burn Rooney jerseys.
Sir, I have a Raphael.
Lukaku, yeah.
I have a Raphael. You can't burn that.
Yeah,
I have
like
Evra.
Left,
you,
like
can't
that.
I have
yeah,
Scholes, you can't burn that. I have a Scholes. You can't burn that.
Like,
but like. I got a Pogba 42. Pogba goes to
you
Madrid.
You burn Pogba, bro. Pogba
burn, baby, burn. I'm going to burn that. Light jersey.
He's not
fire.
Scoring goals. And I think Lukaku's a good player. He's here to score goals. He scored 27 goals last year. It was a big part of why we had a decent season. And he hasn't been scoring this year. So I can't defend him, bro. I mean, he's been playing decently. I don't think he's one of the worst perpetrators since our dip. But the man's got to score. And I can't defend him for that.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't think he fits in the way Ole wants to play. So it's he probably isn't the worst player. Probably is a good guy. Has a good head on his shoulders. Seemed not to really lose his mind with Mourinho like Pogba did. But at the end of the day, he probably would be better on sort of an Everton, if you will. Next bit of news. Wilfred Zaha, he did a big piece in the Daily Mail, and he says he wants to play Champions League football, so he's looking to move on, and I think Crystal Palace will be selling probably Bissaka and Zaha this summer.
He crapped all over United and David Moyes.
He did crap over United and Moyes, and I probably agree with him on that one.
Yep.
There's no way we should have sold him to Palace without a buyback clause. At the very least, he's a great player. I rate him. Like most signings, need a couple years, but he's EPL proven. I would really like to see him in red again and have him forget all that Moyes BS, because I think he was going out with Moyes' daughter. Was that the rub?
That was the rub. That's why he wasn't getting any minutes. Then he got dropped for the Champions League.
Speaking of gossip
matches,
girl, right?
Because, and the Anazai got the tip ahead of him, and he was like pissed about that. So a lot of bad blood, but I don't think that was the last signing that Fergie made. I don't think he shipped him, because there's just something like special about the fact that he made that signing. I think you should have given him at least 3 years.
Yeah, and Fergie also did get rid of Pogba, and we brought him back. Next bit of news, Manchester United players to receive 25% mandatory pay cut if club do not qualify for the Champions League. This is per the Sunday Times, and they have some reputable sources. Interesting here, and apparently De Gea's deal and Pogba's deal is so they can get raises in the anticipation
of the cut.
And that would suggest that both those players could potentially stay if we re-up their deal. Now, between De Gea and Pogba, who would you rather keep at this point?
Really? Because De Gea has been a steward for this club, played under Fergie, has won a Premier League with us, and has come like and developed as such a great player. Pogba, I think he has a massive upside. Can be
Ole backed
a
him
top
in the
player.
Press, though. Ole backed Pogba in the press. He has not come out and done that for
De Gea. I don't think he's going to sell him because there's a marketability factor that Woodward knows he's got a prize peach in Pogba because he's so marketable. He's one of the most famous players in the world. He's not going to sell him for that reason alone. And I don't know if we've been seeing the best of Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
last
but if it's
month.
Up to Woodward, we're going to have Pogba driving around his Rolls Royce ground before kickoff.
It is up to Woodward. That's the problem. And sir, let's get back to this feature again. What's grinding your gears this week?
Sir, we all can complain about the players, the manager, the tactics, the day-to-day, but the real issue with Manchester United always has and always will be, at least under this current ownership, is the Glazers. I am Glazers out, sir, green and gold. I've been wearing every match we've ever gone to Old Trafford since, I want to say, Sir Alex has retired. I've worn my green and gold scarf in protest. For those who don't know, the green and gold, they are the original colors of Newton Heath, the original Manchester United football club. And we wear these colors to protest the ownership because they have milked this club for money. They have taken billions of dollars out. They're going to make billions when they sell it. They are Americans. That is what Americans do. So at the end of the day, it's just business, as they say.
Devils.
It actually is good business. Insanely, they bought it for, I think, $290 million cash, put a bunch of debt in the club. They paid it down. They're going to sell for $3 billion cash. They're going to make tons of money off of this deal. But throughout that process, this club has lost its soul. Sir Alex kind of keep it together, and the wheels are starting to really fall off the bus. This is the worst case scenario for Manchester United since Sir Alex retired. Moyes, LVG, Mourinho, and now Ole. Ole under adversity, missing on top four when we were pretty much the front runners to get it. Everyone ranking us to get it, and then we just completely fell apart at the exact wrong moment. So Glazers out, green and gold. You're going to see a lot more from us. We're tweeting this out because this is the root of the problem. And until the Glazers sell the club, unfortunately, I think we're going to see more of the same with the rebuild, not spending enough money, Ed Woodward, yada, 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 sir.
I don't think you're going to see those check sizes that you're hoping for this summer and the number of players.
Short of Woodward 350.
Again, that. It's not going to happen because I think they're going to try and keep it real tight financially before they do a sale. And they're going to try and do a sale in the next 24 months, would be my guess. So I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Jumping into the fan questions, you guys had some good ones. We really appreciate the banter on Twitter. Thanks for replying. At Kirisu _ Manchester United, quote, Ole should not be blamed for what happened today. He inherited a bunch of weak, soft, overpaid players that truly don't care about this club.
Preach.
My question is, how can he overturn this lack of passion and commitment? Also, what do you think about Pogba, Martial cracking jokes at 3-0 down? Sir,
I didn't see that, sir. Did you see that?
No, I did not see the jokes, but it doesn't surprise me,
unfortunately. Inexcusable. And I think the way he does this is by, like, you got to ship some of the troublemakers, right? You got to know who the biggest egg breakers are and get them out and bring in your own boys.
But it's not always call. It's not always call. Woodward is going to keep Pogba around.
He's always going to have one arm tied behind his back then. And I think you're going to screw Ole, because if he can't really put a stamp on the team, then we're never going to be able to compete.
Of all the fans that I heard, I actually heard a podcast, a Newcastle fan was talking about this, how the ownership, Mike Ashley in Newcastle, is terrible, and one of his tactics is appointing old, you know,
legends.
Club legends to be the manager so the fans can't get mad at Ole. Think about how much Ole papered over the cracks. You know, Woodward has yet to do anything. The Glazers have yet to do anything. They've made no commitment to the director of football. They've made no commitment to rebuilding the squad, investing in the squad. And, you know, you're going to have this club legend at the helm who kind of is just going to be captain the ship as it crashes into the iceberg, goes down. And it's really tragic. You've seen Newcastle. I mean, it's been a rough ride for them. I don't think we're going that far down the tubes because, like you said, they're going to sell, hopefully to a cash flush owner.
Cash flush is the key word.
I was thinking someone who maybe has a lot of oil, some
petroleum-rich nation.
Hard to say. Someone who at least, at a bare minimum, appoint a director of football. That's all we need.
Cash.
Next comment, at @Ike_Yagola. Quote, it's just another loss. We need to move on to win the next game. LOL. Till there is a footballing structure above the coach/manager, we are turning into a mid-table team. What happens when the commercial deals are gone? Sir, how do you feel?
Well, sir, you said something that worries me. It's like, it doesn't matter how shit they are. We're all going to still watch them and root for them and probably buy the jerseys occasionally. More likely if they get rid of the Chevy.
No, I can't buy a Chevrolet jersey.
Once they get rid of the Chevy, you'd buy it, even if they were shit. The problem is that, like, we all love this team. We're all going to continue to root for them, and they know that. Glazers know that. They're like, well, they're not going to stop watching. They're not going to stop paying us money. They're not going to, like...
It's the biggest club in the world,
dude,
mate.
It's the best... I love being a Manchester United fan, but it's like this club is run by... I hate to say a bunch of parasites.
Clowns. Run by clowns.
They're sucking the blood out of the club, and the club needs a massive reinvestment. You got to back Ole. He's not going to get backed, and he's going to be the front man that just, like, takes a lashing. And I think the board's just trying to, you know, scoot around having to write big checks, sir.
Only time will tell. I can't wait for just the agonizing summer rumors where we're like, we think we have the solutions, and then they all go to Real Madrid or negotiate new contracts, and we're left with Phil Jones. Mate. Next fan question, at @Heath_Mauger on Twitter. Quote, long past time to play the kids, give Chong, Greenwood, and honestly anyone else performing in the reserves or lower age brackets a run. Plenty out there today who didn't deserve to wear the shirt. #MUFC, #can't say it, off Glazers. how do you feel?
Bleep F off Glazers. I think it's time to give a couple of these kids a chance. Greenwood keeps banging in goals left, right, and center. Quite a player he is. And why not blood a couple of them? I mean, like, dude, you're not even playing Ashley Young.
We go back to Lukaku.
Alexis Sanchez isn't even playing, bro. He's making $400K a week. He's not playing. Didn't even come off the bench today. So why not play one of the kids? I'm sure they're willing to give it their all, like McTominay does. Even DeLow, you know, the young guys are hungrier, even if they're not academy or not. But we got a lot of young players that are ready to make an impact and excited to step up. So why not, sir? Especially depending on this next game goes, which is a must win.
Based on everything Ole said in the press, I'm surprised he hasn't just gone for it and started Greenwood over Rashford and Lukaku. Because you have to be, if you're truly next man up, you got to be next man up. And the fact we haven't seen Chong, we have no attack, and we keep just rotating between Lukaku at 9.
He just scored a banger, so put him in.
It's like, get him out. That's the way we
do it. Let's put him on the bench.
Yeah, it's tough times.
That's what Fergie would do.
Jumping to housekeeping section again. Just want to hit on that fan survey. We'd love to hear your feedback. We got big things planned for this podcast, new website, and you can win a jersey. So why not? It takes 5 minutes of your time. We'd love to hear from you guys. And that's pinned on our Twitter @USAREDDevils and on our Facebook as well. Jumping in our shout out cities last 10 days, sir. Hit us off.
Sir, number one, Pittsburgh, PA. How you doing? Number two, perennial
Round Rock.
Time. Round Rock, Texas. Good to see you again. Number three, New York. Keep it going, sir.
Number four, our hometown. We are broadcasting from the American Red Devils studios.
HQ
in San Francisco, California. Number five, Seoul, Republic of Korea. Number six, Brooklyn, New York. Number seven, Chirac. Number eight, Toronto. Don't forget the maple syrup. Sir, finish us off.
So number 9, San Jose, California, and number 10, Attleboro, Massachusetts. How you doing? How you doing?
Never forget the maple syrup, sir.
The maple. You know, it's been tough times for Manchester United fans. This season's been ups and downs and lefts and rights, and it's been rough. It's been rough, but we've been enjoying it at the helm.
It ain't over. It ain't over.
Somehow we're still in it. We still got a chance.
It's as close as it can be to being over, but it ain't over. So
7% chance.
I'm still tuning in. We'll still watch these matches. Even if we're out of it, you got to watch the youth.
It's a derby, bro. It's still a derby.
Dude, we got Chelsea and City.
In a week. Oof.
Yeah, we have yet to even touch upon the fact that if we beat City, Liverpool can win the league.
If it happens, we'll talk about it next week. And this week.
Of all the things that can happen, I can't handle us with this terrible finish and then Liverpool win the league. Like to me, that would be... gut-wrenching. Like United rebuilding, you know, whatever. Like, I can handle that. But Liverpool winning the league and us out of top four, that is probably something I need to, like, take a break. This podcast will be... I need, like, a month off. You need to, like, go
summer
out.
Summer break.
Walk in the woods, have some reflection time.
Go for a,
like,
walkabout.
The Liverpool fans will be so terrible, like, about this win. It would be the worst thing ever. Klopp, you know it. You don't like Klopp. So imagine Klopp with a title.
NBC Sports is nonstop, running special after special.
It ain't over.
Inside the shadow of the cup. Part 2. Yeah, it's like, piss off.
But hey, there's always summertime. We always got transfer up a tree. There's always the rebuild. We can always win next
rebuild
season,
Rebuild part
sir.
Three, bro. Rebuild part 3. Here we go.
Never say die. We are Manchester United, sir. How good does it feel?
Always at the wheel.